Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the World Series of Politics podcast, where two heavy hitters in the political, legislative, and regulatory space take swings at the curveballs thrown at the gaming sector by legislators and regulators around the world for IGB. We've got Brendan Bussman and Grant Iden stepping up to the plate to discuss the hot topics in this space from across the world. Let's play ball on another episode of the World Series of Politics.
Welcome back to the World Series of Politics podcast. I'm your host, Brant Iden, along with my co-pilot, Brendan Bussman, and this is our last show of the year. And we've got a lot of flight. This is the last flight of the year. Don't say it like that. That's very negative, the last flight. I don't like
that. Last flight of 2024. I got that. It's not my last flight on an airplane, but it is our last flight on the podcast for the year.
That's fair enough. Now, I'm done. I am. Are you traveling still for work before the end of the year?
I still got one trip in me.
Oh, my.
And then I start back up January 2nd.
Oh, good on you. I am not, my friend. I'm at home in Florida. It's nice. It's warm here. It's 85. Playing golf this weekend. I got a beautiful big Christmas plan. My mother's coming to visit me. You know, I mean, bringing her down from Michigan. So there you go.
Well, and you can tell you're now from Florida because most of us say Florida, and I can't even do the slang you just did. It sounds like you're freaking 70 and been in the Sun City community for the last 10 years.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, playing pickleball and tennis and golf, and it's what I do now.
I know.
So you asked before we started the show, why am I
got to have, yeah, what the hell's
the
up with the Mafia shirt?
What is with the Lions guy wearing this? So I will say this. So after our last show, and I'm not going to say who, a friend from New York called me and said, I have a wager for you. And I said, well, I got to take the wager. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to take it. What is it?
That's like saying you want candy.
He said, the Lions are playing the Bills. He said, the next podcast, if the Bills win, you got to wear the Buffalo t-shirt. And I said, of course. I said, if not, I'm going to brag about how great the Lions are and how they're going to win the Super Bowl. And he goes, well, I wouldn't expect anything less. And now here we are. So here I am living up to my bet. Bills, go Bills, you know, I mean, they played a great game. We'll see what happens, you know, coming into this week. But I'm living up to my wager, and I'm wearing the Mafia shirt on the podcast. So here we are.
Well, that is very good. I will say to my friends in Buffalo, I'm still waiting for my gear. So as you're hearing this, let me know if you need my address or if you lost it, because I'm still waiting for my Mafia gear.
You are? Okay, all right. You're still waiting for your Mafia gear. Fair enough. Well, we are going to talk more about potential winners and losers at the end of the show when we do our 2025 picks, but I'm going to save that to the end. We're going to jump in. We want to talk about 2024. We want to do a little bit of a recap. So, Brendan, go ahead. Hit us with it. Where did we find
I think we need to talk about the wins that we got overall, and then we'll talk about the losses, which was the hearing earlier this week.
Well, man,
for
that can
everybody.
Go on. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know, but I have to make sure we end this show by congratulating you on your DC victory. The one that no one thought, and if you go back and listen to the podcast last year, I probably was like, what the hell are you talking about? But DC would not be where it is today from a mobile standpoint on sports betting if it was not for Brant Iden. Now, we still have to see what happens in DC as it relates to what the legal process may ensue for everybody prior to this. Dating back to the spectrum of errors that they've had since the beginning of life on this. But I do want to congratulate you on your victory this year. And as you well noted, I have paid up my debt, correct?
You have.
Let's just get that on the record.
And first off, well, thank you for that. And of course, you know, I mean, I'd be remiss. We worked on that with a number of folks that were very pivotal in that. I want to thank City Council for all that they did and, of course, the leadership on the issue. But I'm happy to report that DC is going very well. I mean, if we look back and we look at the numbers and the monthly reporting numbers that have come in, these are 15x what the city was bringing in before. And I think it's really good. It's a really great success story to talk about how competitive markets are working well. And so that's been great. Speaking of DC, you know, I got to commend you, my friend. I remember when we were at G2E and we were having a lovely meal. We were talking about the presidential election. And I was not as bullish on the election outcome as you were. And you won that one. And so congratulations on your pick on that one. Although we didn't have a wager on it. You didn't want a wager on that one. I would have taken the wager.
You called me the next morning and said, why in the hell you bet the farm? And I said, you know, these are friendly wagers. We'll do it at the end of the show. But, you know, as witnesses at that dinner, our friends across the pond that were sitting there, the best I can remember is one of our guests at that dinner kept said to me afterwards, he said, "Thanks for the entertainment. Your facial reactions to Brandt were absolutely priceless."
Well, I didn't think the outcome was going to be what it was. And so congratulations on that. And I will say, you know, well, see, you know, then we can wager between friends, you know, and we're not even going to talk about that on the show. But the, now I saw that a couple bills dropped yesterday. The feds are trying to ban election wagering. I think that that's the oldest form of wagering that's occurred, by the way, is election wagering. And now the feds are trying to ban that as well. So.
Well, I will say this, and I've been on record on this, you know, being a guy that has done political campaigns since, God, as far back as I can remember. When we start doing what happened this last year and throwing that out there, I'm done with the whole thing because, you know, the whole polling versus wagering markets, that's a whole different story. We could take a whole podcast on that, but you know, it's called in some cases, which is goes back to the dinner we had. Sometimes you just got to look at what reality is in front of you, and sometimes you just may not like what it has to say, but it ends up being the result.
There
so,
you go. That's a fair way.
yeah.
And you know what? You've now given me another. We'll have to talk about it. We'll probably have to make the federal election wagering a topic for 2025. We now have another topic for the podcast for next year.
Absolutely.
I'm sure we've got some good folks that want to talk about that. But what I want to talk about.
You want to talk about the feds and the
I want to
talk.
Well, we're on the
feds,
so I want to talk about the hearing that happened, you know, earlier in the week. I mean, boy, that escalated quickly, huh? I mean, I think, it became a little bit of a. I think the word you used with me was circus, and there were a number of people trying to be the ringmaster out there. I mean, give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I used the term circus. You used the term kangaroo court.
I did. You're right. I did.
Which is definitely the case. I mean, I'll say this because there's a lot of things that can be said. Is first off, you know, and I'm going to throw out a few sports analogies here. This was definitely a Hail Mary by a very minority group of the legislative branch trying to show that they had some sort of say in how this is going to go from a federal policy standpoint. You know, it was also a lifeline to the NCAA, which, you know. Say what you want about Charlie Baker, and I'm not going to go down the path that a couple senators went on some other stuff, but it, from a guy that used to work at a NCAA institution and had Title IX throughout my whole thing, and to say Title IX doesn't matter, the NCAA, you got to get a new leader type thing off of that because, you know, women's athletics in its 50th year, and as I sit there and look at my alma mater that, you know, has – every women's team is their 50th team and everything else that should be celebrated as opposed to, oh, this now doesn't apply to us. But back to the actual premise of this, the lifeline they tried to even give to the NCAA at the end, Baker couldn't prop up why the heck he was there. And I purposely used the term prop because that's what it came down to over everything. And the fact of the matter is hearing fell flat on its face and got us nothing other than the rest of the world knows that what happens in a circus up on Capitol Hill.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I think as I sort of reflected on it, and you're right, the hearing definitely did take some very interesting directions for sure. And but I think, you know, and I, you know, I've known Governor Baker since he was a governor. I like the governor. I you know, I know that you feel differently, but I do like the governor. And I will say this. I think that his original intention for trying to push this player prop ban really came out in the hearing, which is people don't like the NCAA. And I think he recognizes that people just don't like the NCAA. And I think as a former politician that he is, he was trying to find sort of a, maybe this is the wrong word, but kind of the boogeyman, right? Who can I coalesce behind where everybody will now start to support the NCAA so I can go find something that we all don't like? And I think he tried to find something negative to point to and create a common enemy. And that just didn't happen at the hearing. I mean, you know, and I wrote this down because this was probably the quote of the hearing. This was from Senator Kennedy when he was debating the issue of course, you know, transgenders and why the NCAA won't ban transgender. And we're not going to get into that on this show. But he actually said, Governor Baker, he said, go online to Amazon and buy a spine. He said that. He's like, make a decision on something. And I think it just shows, again, that the general consensus towards the NCAA is very negative. Whether you want to talk about the portal, whether you what decisions that have been made are not positively received by the general public. And because of that, trying to find this player prop bet issue just was not landing. And I want to really point to one specific example, which is, and the hearing opened up with this. Senator Durbin specifically gave an example of a two college athlete, a college athlete and his roommate, and basically saying that the roommate propositions the collegiate athlete to miss two free throws in one particular game, and the roommate gets paid. And then Governor Baker repeated that later on in the hearing as an example. The fact of the matter is, in the regulated industry, we do not take the industry does not take negative bets. That wager can't even exist. And the fact that this hearing was around they used an example to open the hearing that's just blatantly false in the regulated industry, what just blew my mind. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? I mean,
You're absolutely right about that. And that goes back to the whole argument from the NCAA. And I can say this in two aspects. One, I sat there, 6 years ago going to the NCAA as a former guy that used to work for an NCAA institution saying, hey, you guys need help with this and help understand it. Here we are 6 years later. And while the ostrich has pulled its head out of the sand finally and said, hey, we're going to go do something, they still don't understand the issue. They still don't know what happens. As somebody that sat there 6 years, 7 or 20 plus years ago, when I was five, that would show up and have some fan after the game come up to me and say, hey, why'd you guys score there? I needed you to not have the points. It's been happening for decades, guys, and you just figured out under a poor example in an illegal market that this is what your analogy is. It just goes to show the falsehoods that some of these people are propagating up on the Hill, and it just needs to end, and why this whole federal debate needs to just go away, plain and simple. And back to just the NCAA, hold on real quick. On the
No, go
NCAA in
ahead.
general, I was just at the College Football Hall of Fame dinner, a week ago. I will tell you, as somebody that sits there, and you talked about the portal, you talked about all this, they lost the House case, they lost the Alford case, they lost every case they've had along the way here. And I don't remember what the one was even earlier this week that they lost. Here's a group that needs to find its identity, and it can't sit there and start pointing fingers at things of, hey, it's your fault and everything else until they figure out what they're actually supposed to do, which is regulate college athletics. But even like on the House decision, you've got athletic departments that are trying to figure out what their four or five scenarios are that come into play in July on how they're going to pay athletes. And you're worried about prop bets and shifting it over to the market that's not going to do it anyway. Keep it illegal. That doesn't help protect anybody. That's just deflecting the problem. You might as well just be an admirer in the situation.
Well, I think it was telling that we really didn't see any information from Governor Baker about, okay, you pick the states. He really referenced Ohio as being sort of a success story, right? We were very successful in Ohio, but what he didn't provide was, have we actually seen any evidence of player harassment decreasing in Ohio since this ban was put in place? I don't know that, right? He talked about we're able to survey our athletes to be able to understand that they're being harassed, and we're able to talk to them. And I believe him that that is absolutely true. But the answer is here's what I want to know then, Governor. You instituted this player prop ban in Ohio. Has harassment decreased? And I'd be curious to know if the policy that the NCAA is pushing is actually working. And this is not to, and I know we're debating, sort of the aspects of the NCAA and the fact that, consumers, the public just doesn't like the NCAA. But really, I want to drill down into this betting issue and say, actually, are the policies the NCAA is putting forth working? And I don't know that they are or they aren't, but I think it's just worthwhile to say, okay, let's see some data then. If we want to espouse these policy theories, let's see some data on it, I guess. I mean, and I do want to come back to one of your points, though, which is you said the Fed's staying out of it. And I agree with you. By the way, the federal government, this is a states' rights issue. Murphy v. NCAA, very clearly a states' rights issue, which Director Reebuck did a wonderful job at the hearing.
He's the only adult in the room.
Outlining the fact that this is a states' rights issue and should be a states' rights issue, and the fact that state regulators are doing a good job. But the one thing I want to highlight, and I wrote this down, if you remember, Senator Blackburn talked about this, and I don't know where she got this stat, so I'm not even saying it's accurate, but she said that she believes there are some statistics she saw is that 10% of the money that the mob still receives is from sports betting, illegal sports books. Now, I don't know if that stat is true or not. She just threw that stat out there. I don't know where the senator got that information. But then she said, how do we rectify that problem? Well, I got an idea. Let's federal government use the full weight of the federal government and the DOJ to go after the illegal bookmakers. How about that idea? Yeah. You want to go after the mob? No. You want to go after this perceived money? Go after those illegal bookmakers. I don't know. Just an idea.
No. You and I have been very consistent on that, and that's what should be the case. And if there's any sort of federal, you know, financing of anything, they're there to be, you know, in their role as in a judiciary sense. And this is where you need to use the power of the Department of Justice and the FBI and other institutions to crack down on what's happening illegal within your borders along the way. And I say that saying all these guys offshore, they're operating here. You need to shut it down, you know, and this is where, you know, I go back to, and we talked about this earlier this week, you know, that hearing was designed to be a constructed narrative. And back to my comment early on, a Hail Mary to try to get something across the finish line for these people that want to continue to do this. You know, it was also very telling, you know, of who was up at the table providing testimony. And thank God, you know, former director Rebuck was at the table and was able to go up there as a former regulator and say, hey, here's how this works in New Jersey. And what you're saying just isn't the case. But also, I think it's very telling that you didn't have the AGA at the table. Obviously, sovereignty came up in that whole conversation, too. You don't have anybody from the tribes coming up in that conversation earlier. So this is where if you want to do something, feds, yes, you're absolutely right. Your power should be in enforcement. And that's where your primary focus should be. And you should be talking to the people that are dealing with it every day in the regulated market that are actually the ones on the front lines fighting this, as opposed to you standing on the sidelines.
No, you hit the nail on the head. I was going to bring that up. And Senator Padilla, very clearly from California, highlighted that, said, look, if we want to have a real discussion about this, where are the tribes at? You know, Michigan is certainly not as a tribal heavy state as California is. But look, I've got a lot of tribes in Michigan, and I'm looking at that and going, wait a minute, how can you have a real conversation and want to talk about the sovereignty of tribes and gaming without having a conversation with the tribes about this? I thought that was just insanity to begin with. And I can't believe the chair didn't have anybody from the tribal gaming world there at all. I mean, I thought that was great.
No, I know. It just goes to why, you know, I mean, here's a hearing they threw together at the last minute, and this is what you get.
That's a great point. Well, you know, we're coming up on our time, and we can't close out the show without doing our 2025 picks, which is what we always do. For those listeners that know, Brendan and I have a little Paul Hobbs wager on the line. This year, we're going to mix it up just a little bit, and we're going to do two picks. We're going to do a sports betting state for 2025, and we're going to do an iGaming state for 2025. And by the way, Brendan and I debated this before we started the show, and he said, Brendan, I don't know that anything's going to pass in 2025. And I said, fair enough. I said, then it's a total push bet. I said, but, you know, we've got to stay optimistic for 2025. We had limited success in 24. And so look, let's do our pick 'em. And so where are we at, Brendan? You're going to get, since I've defeated you in this game the past couple sessions, I'm going to give you the first pick. The whole map is yours. Sports betting for 2025. Do you see anything happening? And you got to pick someplace. Where's it going to be?
Well, you know, as we started debating this before the show briefly, and as I continually look at the challenges that exist in the limited map on this, I'm going to go with the great state of Mississippi to do mobile as my sports betting pick along the way. I'm going to go with the brand. We're going to do DC and try to upgrade the level off of that along the way. Obviously, we know we've seen a bill in South Carolina get debated. We you know, are introduced, I should say. We'll see what happens in Alabama. We'll see what happens in Minnesota. You know, those are probably some of the others, but what's your pick as it relates to sports?
Well, I'm going to go something similar. I'm going to go with Delaware. You know, I think Delaware's got, obviously, and they've got a single sole source operator. We saw that in DC. I think there's an opportunity to talk about how well DC is doing, and Delaware maybe, you know, look, it's a border state. We may be able to have some movement there. So I'm going to go with Delaware. So I'm
Joe Biden's got to do something in spare time from the beach. You know,
those are good picks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. iGaming pick. No, you got iGaming first. I went first on sports. Who's your iGaming pick?
I got to go with Wyoming.
You can't go with Wyoming. I'm going with Wyoming.
No, I said no. You gave me the first pick. That's the whole point. I tried to give it to you. You gave it back to me. So I'm going with Wyoming.
I am going to go with, and we have this on record beforehand, but I'm going to say it can get passed, but it may not get passed on the ballot. So we're talking legislative.
Yep.
I'm going to go with the state to the south, and we're going to go with Colorado.
Okay. All right. It can pass, but it does not have to pass the ballot. That's still a winning wager if it passes at the legislative level. So there we go.
Yes.
All right,
for the record,
got that
it does
down.
Say Wyoming on my sheet right here. Wyoming on my
look,
sheet.
Look, it's the first thing I had written down. You gave it to me first. It was very generous because you could have had Wyoming. So
no, I know. I'm just surprised you didn't like throw Nebraska at me on the whole sports thing. But that's a whole different conversation.
I can't believe you didn't take Nebraska, your home state. I mean, you know.
I will tell you that there's a lot of work to be done there. And there's a way and a pathway, as I said, during special session that you can get this done. And there's the way that you keep pushing the rock up the hill. And I don't know why we're pushing a rock up a hill.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, before we close it out, we do have a special visitor that we've been teasing for the past few months. You know, he's been very busy, but we've got a knock on the Zoom door. And who's our friend there? Where's Wonder Kid at? Where's the Wonder Boy at?
Here I am. Wow. This is how the other half live. It's nice, this side of the fence.
You're no longer in the dark.
I know, it's really nice to be outside the bunker. Well, this is interesting. So, I mean, like, thinking about your predictions, I mean, like, I have to say, with sports betting, I'm kind of leaning towards what Brant's saying. You know, I kind of feel that, you know, looking ahead to next year, all the states out there, these are difficult states, but there's still, you know, in that kind of existing market, I think there's still some fine-tuning that can be done, you know, and it's like we saw it with DC, Delaware, I mean, what about somewhere like New Hampshire even? You know, these single kind of operator states, I mean, I think there's kind of scope to do something there. On iGaming, I mean, you know, from like, look, I'm obviously sitting on the other side of the pond, and it just feels, you know, it's crazy that people aren't looking at these numbers and seeing, you know, the kind of opportunity out there, because it's absolutely, you know, it's huge. Like some of the kind of like the tax revenue coming from iGaming, it's just, you know, it's just kind of, it's light years ahead of sports. So, I mean, with that, I mean, like, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I kind of feel that Colorado and Wyoming feel a bit unambitious. You know, what about Maryland? What about maybe Indiana coming in? Go big.
I like go big. You're right.
Hey, just remember, Robin, keep that tax rate low. You got to keep that tax rate low. people that put a 15% floor in, got to go lower. We'll never take the 15.
Well, Robin, you're exactly correct, and I would be remiss if I didn't highlight the fact that the Michigan Gaming Control Board numbers came out yesterday, and Michigan in 2024 will have done $500 million, over $500 million in tax revenue from iGaming. So, I mean, if states aren't looking at that, they're asleep at the switch. You just wanted me to
pat you on the back again for putting together a good.
You're right. I was fishing for compliments. You're right.
And I say that saying, as you and I just had the conversation last week, I was sitting there having a conversation. Somebody said, "Yeah, that tax rate in Michigan's way too low." And I said, "Excuse me, why don't you go ask Mr. Iden when I told him the day it passed?"
I remember you told me the tax rate's way too high. I remember you calling me. I don't even think you said congratulations first. I think you said the tax rate.
No, I said,
oh, by the way,
congratulations. Yeah, I said congratulations. He goes, well, what's wrong? Hey, your tax rate's too high.
So look, we're going to wrap the show up. Gentlemen, it is the season for giving thanks, and I just really appreciate it. We've had a great run with the show. We're going to have a great 2025. I want to thank our friends at Clary and Robin, all you do to produce the show. I want everybody to have a great holiday, and, you know, we're going to wrap things up there. This is another World Series of Politics podcast with your hosts, Brendan Bussman, Robin Harrison, and Brant Iden, and we'll see you in 2025.
See you then.
See ya.
You've been listening to the World Series of Politics podcast with Brendan Bussman and Brant Iden. We'll be back at the starting line very soon. This has been an IGB production. For the latest news, views, analysis, and data on the global gaming industry, head to igamingbusiness.com.